Okay. Tonight's Chazar Hashir is brought to us once again by the Aaron Martha Isidore Ann and Blanche Rosansky Contemporary Halacha Program.
I paid a lot of money for that.
They paid lots of money for that. Now, I just would also ask that to dedicate the Shir for Rafua Shlema. There's a cousin of mine who Nebuch is very sick. His name is Rafal Zev Ben Miriam. He's a Chaver Kolal in Chafetz Chaim. He has two kids, and Kodesh Baruch Hu just send him Rafua Shlema because he really needs it. Fine. We are in middle of the Shir given by Dr. Levine, which is about Ribbis. And basically, Dr. Levine's shiur about ribbis broke down into two parts. It's the part that we already did, which describes the isurim of ribbis, and then comes up the issue. There are certain areas in halacha, ribbis and yichud, are good examples. That these areas of halacha, the whole kunst is to figure out how to get around them. Right. So there's an isur, but how can you solve the isur? So you solve the isur of ribbis. You solve the isur of yichud, there are ways to get around it, and that's really what we try to do. We just try to get around the isurim. So, how do we get around the isur ribbis? The basic answer is we have what is called a heter iska. Now, heter iska can be very, very complicated, but it's based on a simple principle. The simple principle is that what we want to do is arrange a business relationship that will approximate a loan. Okay, what's the yisod of a loan? If I lend you $500 and I want to get back $600, right? So a loan is something that is very certain that I'll get the money back, right? And a heter iska, we try to approximate getting the money back, right? In a way that it's mamash going to be like the same as a loan with ribbis, but it's not going to be ribbis. It's going to be instead iska. Instead, it's going to be a business relationship. Now, the Gemara has a case of Iska. It's actually funny, because this Gemara of Iska is the one Gemara that has to do with Ribbis that's not in Tarkei Zehu Neshach. Right? It's like a kunz. It's later on in Bava Metzia. The Gemara about Iska. The Gemara says, Hai Iska's chetzi milva chetzi pikadon. What that means is by definition, a milva. Remember, there's only Ribbis on the loan. And what defines a loan? I lend you money. The money gets lost. Who loses? Me or you?
The lova starts to pay back, right?
So l'chayra, the lova loses. So the achrayus on the milva is the achrayus of the lova. Right? That's the definition of a milva. Pikadon is the opposite. Pikadon, I give you an item to watch. The item gets lost. Who loses? Again, there are different types of shomerim, but the shomer isn't really the one who loses.
The person who gave the object.
The person who gave the object then loses. Unless it, okay, there are different halachas, the type of shomerim, whatever. But the one who stands to lose, unless proven otherwise, is the one who owns the object. So pikadon is in the achrayus of the original owner. Milva is in the achrayus of the lova, of the one who received the item. A iska, when the Gemara says it's chetzi milva chetzi pikadon, what the Gemara is basically saying is that it has to be symmetrical. Okay, we have to have, now it doesn't necessarily have to be that we both, the Gemara's case is it's 50% my responsibility, 50% my achrayis, 50% your achrayis, right? That's the Gemara's case, chetzi milva chetzi pikadon. But it could be symmetrical in the way that if I want to get 70% profit on my loan, I want to make a killing, right? So then I have to accept 70% achrayis. The Rishonim all understand that the Gemara's relationship is that you need a symmetrical, right, relationship between the amount of achrayis and the amount of profit that you're going to get. If it's not symmetrical, so then that is what's called karoiv l'schar v'rachok mihafsir, and that is going to be an issur ribbis midrabanan. No. So far so good. What we decide is, instead of me lending Yonatan Schachter some money, I like Yonatan, he's the only camper I have in this room now, right? So instead of me lending Yonatan some money, what we do is we decide that Yonatan and I are entering a business relationship. So I'm going to be the financier, which Rabbi Blake, whenever he speaks about Ribbis, he calls me the financier, I'm Mr. Moneybags. So what I do is, we have a business, right? And there are two partners in the business. One is the guy who gives all the cash, but has nothing to do with the day-to-day running of the business. Then there's the MP, which is the managing partner. And the managing partner does everything, but it's not his money. So that's our relationship. Technically, it could be, right, whatever we arrange, as long as it's symmetrical. But let's say it's chitzi mova chitzi pekadon. So I have 50% achrayus on the money, you have 50% achrayus on the money. But there still is another problem. Right? The problem is, I have all the money. Yonatan's doing all the work. Right? So he'll get half of the profit for doing the work. But it turns out that I'm really getting more than he's getting, no? Because not only am I going to get 50% of the profit, I'm also going to get 50% of the profit without doing anything. He gets 50% of the profit through his blood, sweat, and tears. Right?
But he's getting more because you also put in more money at the beginning.
I put in money, but the money is going to be 50-50 technically. In terms of 50%, we view it like a chrayus of me, 50% like a chrayus of him. If it gets lost, he owes half of the money to me. So we view it halakhically like we're each responsible for half of the money. Mm-hmm. But I end up getting more than half, because I get back the 50% that I put in, plus I'm getting back all that extra work. So for that, Chazal say that you need, it's not really Chazal, it's the Rishonim, based on the Gemaras, based on Chazal, the Rishonim say that in the Heter Iska, you need to give what's called Schar Tircha. In other words, I have to pay Yonatan for the work that he does. How much Schar Tircha do I have to give? Well, in Shulchan Aruch it says that you should use a dinar. A dinar, Rabbi Levine made a cheshbon, is around $14. Okay, we in the Shach says you don't need a full dinar, all you need is a pruta. But the pruta is only if you specify at the beginning. The pruta is going to be what? Less than a nickel, no? Generally, in the standard schar, in the standard heter iska forms, it says that the schar tircha will be assessed at $1. If you're kotzei schar tircha at the beginning, you can do even the pruta. If you're not kotzei it at the beginning, so then we have to pay the market value for the work that was done. Again, if I don't pay the market value for the work that's done, there's a problem of real ribis, but it's not ribis of value, it's ribis of services. Right, that's what we spoke about last time. One of the Yisurim of Ribbis, according to half the Rishonim, is only this is Drabbanon, but Yisurim Drabbanon are also bad. Right? Services. If I do, right, I say that I'm going to plow for you and you plow for me. Right? So there's a potential of Ribbis, the Gemara says. Why? Because I'm going to plow for you in the summertime when it's easier to plow. You're going to plow for me in the dead of the winter when it's really hard and the ground, so you're going to be working a lot more than I am. So there's Ribbis on services also. So the Gemara says, so the concern for ribbis of services has to be solved by paying schar tircha. Okay, so far we're in the Gemara. Heter Iska was put into practice for real in the year 1550 in Krakow. There was a Jew that we know nothing else about him besides the fact that he's the author of the Heter Iska. He is named Rabbi Menachem Mendel Avigdor of Krakow. That's a lot of names, right? And what he did is he came up with Heter Iska. Now, besides saying that's chetzi milva chetzi pekadon, so far that's okay, but how do you get the extra money? Right? So half of it's mine, half of it's yours. But I want more than just what I put in. I want to get a profit on the deal. I give $1,000, I want to get back $1,200. So what we do is we say, listen, we're giving the money to invest in the business. Yeah. We're giving the money to invest in the business. Now, we assume that this business is going to produce $200 of profit. That's what we assume. Why do we assume this? Because I'm a sharp investor, I'm Mr. Moneybags, and every time I invest I get $200 on the $1,000, or whatever the percentage is. That's what I always get. So that's what we assume that we'll get. Now, if you're going to tell me that we didn't get that amount of anticipated profit, you have to swear. You have to take a shavua. Right? So either you'll give me back the profit that we got from the business, that you put the money into some real estate investment, let's say, you made a killing, right? $200 on the $1,000. Oh, it didn't happen? You have to swear. Chazal understand that most Orthodox Jews don't swear. So therefore, if you're not going to swear, what will you do instead of swearing? You'll pay me the money. That's called Skar His Pashras. Right? Really, you chayiv a shavua. If you don't want to swear, you'll pay me what value? You'll pay me the value of anticipated profit. What we assess the business would produce. Based on this notion, Rabbi Bleich points out that it's very important not to specify what business you're putting the money into. No? Because if you specify what business, for example, let's say I specify that I'm giving you the money for investment in real estate. Well, it could be that the whole thing will be patently false. You look at the document, it says, oh, investment in real estate, you're tying the $200 of profit? Well, everybody knows that the real estate market in the city tanked. No? Everybody knows that you didn't earn no $200 profit, you lost like PSR. So it's preferable not to specify the business that you go into. But the rationale of Heter Iska is that you're really chayiv a shavua. Right? You're chayiv a shavua to swear what the profit is. You don't want to swear, then you'll pay the skar his pashras. Now the later postgame, Rav Moshe Feinstein, has a problem. He says, okay, Rav Menachem Mendel of Avigdor of Krakow in the year 1550, he says people should swear. Now, it has to be, Zakhtar Moshe, that Heter Iska, there's a real chance that the guy is going to say, oh, you know, no profit happened, and I want to swear. Right? It's got to be that there's a real chance, or else the whole thing is a fake. Bisman has that, would anyone do that? Jews, Rav Moshe says, swear falsely all the time, so everybody's going to swear. So it's ki'ilu, it's just a loan with interest. If there's no real opportunity not to get that $200, right? So it's just the same as a loan with interest. So Moshe said, oh, well, you know what? Maybe you should make a Shavua. We'll make the Shavua, though, stronger, scarier than most Shavuas. So this way, even though today in the year, whatever, 1980 in America, Jews swear, but they don't swear, like, with holding Sifrei Torah and with black candles and with the whole show choir singing in the background, right? So if that's the case, so Mimela will be a little bit scarier. Others try to give additional eitzes, but the additional eitzes create other problems. Some say that, oh, you want to say that a loss happened, right? So you need Adam Ksherim to testify in the loss. And how can you find Adam Ksherim in America? No? That's a little joke. How do you find Adam Ksherim? Well, for guilt, kemen bakumen alas. You pay a guy enough money, he'll be an aid kosher also. Yeah. It doesn't work, you know? Right? It's fine. But the point, so some say, oh, well, what you need is you need Adam Ksherim. Well, Adam Ksherim, the problem is that the Chazon Ish says he doesn't like this idea. Because Lamaisa, who are going to be the only Adam? What's the case? It's a business relationship, Timin Yonatan. Who knows the books of the business? The only people who know the books are the workers in the business. Me and Yonatan. I don't know the books. I'm Mr. Moneybags. I live in my mansion. Yonatan knows the books, but he's not kosher. He's no Gei Abadofer. The other workers maybe know the books. They're also no Gei Abadofer, no? Because any profit's going to be distributed among the workers, no? So, Lech Ora, Adam Ksherim doesn't really work. The Chazon Ish has a discussion also, maybe you could be Mechayiv the person to be Shomer the money, the way money requires Shemira according to the Yom Gemar and Karka. Also these things, if you set the bar too high, it just doesn't really work. Fine. Technically speaking, right, we'll just make two more points about Heter Iska, then we'll go on. Technically speaking, a Heter Iska should be a business. That I give money not as a loan, but I'm giving money to invest in the business. Problem. Let's say I'm a yeshiva bachar. Right? Or I'm not a yeshiva bachar, I'm a kollel guy. Why do I need money? I need money not for a business. I need money to marry my daughter off. Is that a business? That depends who she's marrying. Some Achmanim actually say that, right? You marry your daughter off to the right guy. It could be that's also a business. Fine. But let's say, right, you're marrying your daughter to the son of some koyel guy, also. No business over here. So can you say that's considered a legitimate iska? So the Shoal Meshev has a tshuva where he says that prevention of loss is considered iska. That's also considered business. In other words, why is it that I need a loan? Is it that I have no money? No, I have money, but my money is tied up in investments, and I don't want to sell my stock in order to make my daughter's wedding, so I'd rather take a loan. So preventing myself from selling my stock, keeping that business deal going, is also considered iska. The Sefer Minchas Yitzchak doesn't like that. The Bris Yehuda says that there's ein baza hefra. The Bris Yehuda is like the classic book on ribbis, written by Rav Bloy. So he says that he doesn't know exactly how to be machri on this shayla. That's an important question. How exactly do we define what's considered iska? Now, 1550, we get the first heter iska. Comes along 1924, and there was a great tzaddik, Reb Leibele Eger. Reb Leibele Eger decided that he wanted to come up with what's called heter iska klali, which is what they have hanging on the walls in some banks. The heter iska klali says that anything that is being done in this bank is being done on the basis of heter iska. Boom. It's almost like saying Nishin Shabbos Garet, and you talk about whatever you want, right? The same idea. We're doing everything based on heter iska. Is it really based on heter iska? L'chor, heter iska has to be that we enter this relationship in order not to be alone, in order to be a business relationship. To have a general notion, this is heter iska klali. It's very funny. Reb Leibel Eger had this idea in 1924. It created a whole taram in the Torah journals. Reb Aaron Kotler disagreed. Reb Aaron Kotler's father-in-law, Reb Mr. Zalman, disagreed. Everyone went back and forth. They wanted to rip it up. Today, the banks in Eretz Yisrael, if you look in the Sefer Toras Ribbis, so the last chapter in the Toras Ribbis gives you the heter iskas of various banks in Eretz Yisrael. Bank La'umi has it done this way, Bank Mizrahi has it done that way. Each bank has their own different nusach. Most places do not use a heter iska klali. The bank that Republic Bank was a Jewish-owned bank, no? He would use Nifter.
Safra.
Okay, so Republic Bank at one point used the heter iska klali, then he got himself a more legitimate heter iska, which is very complicated. To have a heter iska that's going to work on each loan specifically has to be written into the documents when you sign the loan. It's much more complicated. Republic Bank has a heter iska. There's some other bank in New York that is majority Jewish owned and relies on the heter iska klali. I forgot which one. You have to look into the things, some of the credit cards. What?
Israel Discount Bank?
I don't. Israel Discount Bank is Israeli chartered. So they have an Israeli heter iska. How those Israeli heter iskas work in New York is a legal question. I mean, you have to figure out which bank is which. You have to speak to people who know this Torah. But Derek Paul, we assume that most of our banks in New York are majority non-Jewish owned, therefore there's no ribbis issues, you don't need a heter iska, good to go. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a big problem. Okay? So far, so good. Now, there is one advantage, though, of heter iska in Eretz Yisrael over heter iska in New York. There's a great professor, big Talmud Chacham. He has Yadin Yadin for Moshe. He also is professor of law in DePaul University, named Dr. Steven Resnikoff. Dr. Resnikoff has some articles where he challenges the validity of heter iska because by law, banks are not allowed to enter partnerships with clients. Apparently this is in the banking laws of this great country of ours. The banks can't enter partnerships. So Eibazoi, we have a huge problem that every heter iska should fall in the waste paper basket, because the way it works is that the bank is entering a partnership, no? So Dr. Levine wrote some articles to disagree with Dr. Resnikoff. What Dr. Levine said is that no, this the heter iska, even though halacha views it like a partnership, but American law will view it like it's a non-recourse loan. It won't be viewed like a partnership, and it gets really complicated and all the legal stuff, but it's just an important thing to know. Okay, so this is the conclusion of Dr. Levine's share. Are there any questions on Dr. Levine on heter iska?
So what was the advantage of New York over Eretz
Yisrael? Because in Eretz Yisrael, there's no law in the country that banks can't enter partnerships with people. That's an American law.
No, the advantage of New York over Eretz Yisrael besides Dr. Resnikoff's challenge.
Well, that's it. I said two?
You said you had Eretz Yisrael over New York, Dr. Resnikoff, and you had
in New York, the advantage is that most banks are non-Jewish owned.
Okay.
Right? That's a big advantage.
Yeah.
The advantage in Eretz Yisrael is
so
that even though it's Jewish owned, but the heter
iska.
Right, the corporation questions are huge, very big problems. The best essay on corporations actually in the Sefer Bris Yehuda and Hilchos Ribbis. He has like a 10-page footnote. It goes through all the Shitas and Rishonim. Generally, I mean, that's a topic that we should do in a different contemporary halacha, the status of corporations in halacha.
Yeah.
It's a very important topic. It has like 2,000 applications, and there's no real clarity. No real clarity on that issue.
Do you know where it's in Torah Ribbis?
On the Bris Yehuda has the long essay. I can get you the exact Marimakum with the footnote, but fine. Chevra Ba'am is what you call a limited liability corporation in Hebrew. That's what you can look for in the back. And
Chevra Ba'am?
Yeah. Beis Aleph, two Chetriks Mem. Okay, let's go on. Right? What I'd like to do now is go through Rabbi Ganak's discussion of Bishul Akum, and then we'll move on to Rabbi Sabalowski's discussion of Mikvaos, and everything else we try to leave for a shiur later this week. Bishul Akum. Okay, Rabbi Ganak spoke about how there are two Isurim. There's Bishul Akum and Pas Akum. Good. So far, so good. Is there a difference between these two Isurim, Bishul Akum and Pas Akum? So Rabbi Ganak felt that fundamentally there is a difference. You see, if you look in Rashi, Rashi has a stira. In one place in the Mishnah, Rashi says that the Isser Bishul Akum is a concern, Shema Yachilenu Davar Tamei. The concern is that the guy is going to give you tray food. The guy cooks for you. How do you know that he's not mixing in his roasted suckling pig into the knedlach that he's making? Right? So, it could be that there's going to be mamish and Isser of Davar Tamei in those knedlach. Right, that's one concern. Rashi elsewhere says that no, that the Isser Bishul Akum is just a concern Mishum Chasnas. A guy who makes such beautiful Knedlach, who wouldn't want to marry his daughter? Right? So therefore, there are two reasons that Rashi gives. It happens that by Pas Akum, the concern is only Mishum Chasnas, not Mishum Shamiyach Len Adavar Tamei. What Rabbi Ganak wanted to say is that these reasons reflect something which is very deep. Meaning to say that by Bishul Akum, we have to distinguish between the Sibas HaIsser and the Chalos HaIsser. Chazal instituted the Isser of Bishul Akum the same as they instituted the Isser of Pas Akum, because we're concerned that you'll marry the daughter of the non-Jew. That's why Chazal instituted the Isser. But Lamaisa, once Chazal instituted the Isser, Bishul Akum, we're going to assume, has the status of Ma'acholos Asuros. Since Bishul Akum, we have the additional reason that we're worried maybe the guy mixed some pig into your Kenedlach, so we treat the Kenedlach on the level of the Rabbanon like there's pig in there. Pas Akum is not a cheftza of Isser. Pas Akum is just a precautionary measure. The Isser is only because you're going to perhaps marry his daughter. It's only gezeira. It's not a chatzisho iser. But we have similar notions by stam yenom. Stam yenom also. It could be that the reason Chazal institutes stam yenom is you'll drink with the guy, you might come to marry his daughter. The iser is mishum chasnas. Once they instituted it, it has a chalos of avodah zara, and therefore it's going to be aser b'hanoa. Right, that's the two reasons that are given. Lamay nafgamina between these two reasons. So very simple nafgaminas. One is the din of tam ke'ikar. Right? Is there a din that the food that's cooked by a non-Jew makes the kalim treif? By Bishul Akum, it's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, Sof Simen Kuf Yud Gimel. Generally, we're machmir. In Bishul Akum, there's a din of tam ke'ikar. By Pas Akum, it says in Kuf Yud Beis Sif Tes that a Jew who's machmir on Pas Akum is allowed to eat on the same plate as a Jew who's not machmir. What do you mean? How can you eat on the same plate? Like the hot bread is mamish adding taste to the plate. It makes it all treif. Tam ke'ikar. Answer is no. Maybe there's no din of tam ke'ikar on Pas Akum because Pas Akum is not a cheftza shel iser. It's only usher as a concern of chasnas. One could get out of these rayas. You could say that Pas Akum isn't really usher at all. It's just a chumrah. And that's what's going on there in Shulchan Aruch. But the simple meaning Rabbi Ganak felt is that Pas Akum is not a cheftza shel iser, as opposed to Bishul Akum is a cheftza shel iser. The other nafgamina that could emerge from this, again, Rabbi Ganak didn't present it exactly this way, we'll just go out of order because it connects a little bit better, is the din of Hashlachas Kisim. No? The biggest kula that we have by Bishul Akum, and this is a kula only for 85% of the people in this room now, for Sfaradim, the Kula does not help by Bishul Akam, is that the Jew does a teeny little thing. It doesn't impact on the way the food is cooked at all. There's no noticeable difference in the food. It's just you do a ma'isa, hashlachas kisim. You throw in a toothpick. So by Bishul Akum, Ashkenazim say it helps. Sfaradim say it doesn't help. By Pas Akum, even Sfaradim say it does help. What's the longest? How come hashlachas kisim helps by Bishul Akum only for Ashkenazim, and for Sfaradim it even helps by Pas Akum? So Rabbi Ganak felt that maybe the cheshbon is like this. For Sfaradim, right, hashlachas kisim won't help by Bishul, because Bishul is a chetzesho iser. You can't be matir just by doing a token act. But Pas isn't a chetzesho iser. Pas is just a concern mishum chasnus. Therefore, doing a token act might help. Because if the food itself isn't usher, what's the concern? You might come to marry his daughter. So all that you need is a hecker. Any hecker would be sufficient to be matir pas akum. Bishul akum, it's a chetzesho iser, and hecker won't help. That's the cheshbon according to Sfaradim. How come Ashkenazim hold that hashlachas kisim helps even by Bishul Akum? Isn't it a chetzesho iser? So Rabbi Ganak felt that what you have to suggest is that according to the Ramah, hashlachas kisim is going to help because he views it that since I have a chelak in this fire, we view it like the whole fire is mine. It's a different part. According to the Sfaradim, hashlachas kisim is just a hecker. If it's a hecker, it helps by pas, not by Bishul. Ashkenazim hold hashlachas kisim means I have a chelak, any chelak in the fire, and that's enough to view it like the whole fire is mine. Based on this cheshbon, Rabbi Ganak and the OU have a chumrah against what they do in the Star K. Right? The Star K has the Rabbi Heinemann light bulb, which is, it's not a regular light bulb. If you try to put a regular light bulb in your oven, bad things happen to the light bulb, and mamela, bad things that happen to your oven. But what they have is a special heat-resistant light bulb that they put into the oven, and the light bulb is screwed in by a Jew, and it adds a little bit of heat. So they say, oh, that should solve the problem of Bishul Akum, Gevaldik. Right? It's so important. Today you have factories that are making kosher food in the middle of, probably not North Korea yet, but at least in South Korea we have kosher food.
It's not adding anything to the fire, though.
What?
It's not adding anything to the fire.
It
depends on the light each time, right?
Each time they I think it's on all the time. I think they have, the way the standard light bulb works is that it's constantly on. So what's the problem with it? So the answer is that no, for Ashkenazim, hashlachas kisim only helps because you have a chelak of the fire. This light bulb is separate from the fire that does the cooking. I can't say that because this light bulb is here, right, the entire fire is attributed to me. This is why the OU is machmir on the light bulb. One could make a case that the OU should be maker on the light bulb when it comes to Pas Akum. No?
He requires better than heat-resistant light bulb.
Right. The OU says that heat-resistant light bulb is not sufficient. OU actually has is what's called a Shane device, which is a machine that you could call in from a telephone. The Mashkiach calls in the morning, and he plugs in a code, and he's the only one who has the code, and he turns on the fire remotely from a phone somewhere. Right. So you could have some guy cooking in South Korea based on the guy who makes the phone call from Lakewood and everything.
Did he actually activate the fire?
Yeah.
Through a phone call.
That's the Shane device, that's what the OU actually does. But it's more complicated than the light bulb. The light bulb is easier. But the OU doesn't rely on the light bulb. Okay? So this is the story of Hashlachas Kisim Machlekes Mechaber Rambam. Now,
so as far as the Jew having a chalik in the fire, it's the Jew's fire. Would that be carry over to Choshen Mishpat as well? Would we really say that it's the Jew's fire?
Yes, Rabbi Schechter in one of the OU's Chuvas talks about that even though Choshen Mishpat, we might say that it's considered Kalalo Chitzov, and it's no longer my Eish after the Eish stopped or whatever, turned off. But for Bishakim, we have more Kulas. This is one of the back and forth points between Rabbi Schechter and Rabbi Belsky, actually, that I have here somewhere that I brought tonight. Is about this Nakuda. Here. This is OU document A112, if you want, you can take a look at it. After, Rav Schechter talks about the connection between Choshen Mishpat and Bishul Akum. Fine. Now, there are two big kulas on Bishul Akum. The kulas are food that is not ola al shulchan malachim, food that doesn't get served on the king's table, and food that is ne'achal kamo shehu chai, if food is eaten when it's raw. So there's no iser bishul akum. An apple, you can eat an apple raw, so therefore baked apples not oser mishum bishul akum. And similarly, food that is not ola al shulchan malachim is not a problem bishul akum. Now, what's considered ola al shulchan malachim? This is a big question. You see, President George W. Bush halachically probably has the status of melech, as unfortunate as that might be. Now, once we have a fellow who's a melech, so do I assume that ola shulchan malachim means anything that the president, anything that a king would eat? Like George W. Bush, we all know, eats pretzels. He chokes on them. So is that considered ola shulchan malachim? Choked on pretzels once.
No? National move.
Huh?
Why you Torah?
Okay. So is that considered ola shulchan malachim because it is food that the king eats, food that the president eats? That's one possibility. Some were machmer this way. Rabbi Schwab from the neighborhood over here, when he ran the Breyer's Kashrus, when he was still alive, so he went to the Chazon, well, it was actually before he ran Boris Kashrus. And he was a yeshiva bacher one time, so he went to the Chazon Ish, and he asked the Chazon Ish, what to eat, sardines? And the Chazon Ish told him that the king of England eats sardines for breakfast, therefore it's considered oil al shulchan malachim, and therefore sardines are a bishul akum problem, and you need bishul yisrael. You can't eat regular sardines. Most gedolei yisrael, however, assumed, not like the Chazon Ish. Most gedolei yisrael felt the definition of oil al shulchan malachim means food that's served at a state dinner. Right, much more chashav food. Right. According to the first definition, according to what the Chazon Ish assumed, oil al shulchan malachim is anything that's not lousy, anything that's not inferior quality. But the second definition requires oil al shulchan malachim to be high quality.
Well, in your example, like the sardines, so sardines can easily be served as a steak dinner, they'll just be packaged much nicer.
So these are things that we'll talk about. Good. Right, these are things that we'll talk about. So now, this is the chakira in Ola al Shulchan Malachim. It happens that the Shach in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel Sifkot and Tes Zayin quotes from the Bach that when we say, the Gemara says that Dogim Ketanim is not a problem of Bishul Akum because it's not Ola al Shulchan Malachim, small fish. Small fish sounds like sardines, no?
Mm-hmm.
So sardines is not a problem of Shulchan Malachim. So what was the Chazon Ish's Cheshbon? So the Shach says, no, the reason why small fish is not oil al shulchan malachim is because we're talking about small fish that could grow big. It's a species of fish that if you leave them long enough in the water when they're still alive, they'll grow bigger. So memela, a small fish is not oil al shulchan malachim. Right? But if the entire min is small, so it could be that's not inferior quality, it's high quality, that would be usher. That's obviously what the Chazon Ish felt. Reb Chaim Ozer was Mekel, and he felt that it's based on what you serve at a state dinner. Rabbi Ganak argued that this issue is totally in 2 days in Taisus. Taisus has a question on Daf Lamed Aleph and Avodah Zarah, it's in the packets, about how come beer is not a problem of Bishul Akum. Right? We don't think of it this way usually, but the way they make beer is that you take hops and you take whatever else, you take some grains and you cook it. Right? And it makes beer. So how come it's not a problem of Bishul Akum? So one day the Tosis says is that beer is not Ola Shulchan Malachim. Easy enough, right? Beer is not Ola Shulchan Malachim. Second day in Tosis is that beer is not a problem because just like we make a shahakol on beer, we don't make a mizonos, and the reason we make a shahakol is because we assume that the cooked grain is bottled to the water. Beer is fundamentally water, so also it's not a problem with Bishul Akum. It's going to be bottled for Bishul Akum. That's the second day in Taisus. What do these 2 days depend on? So Rabbi Ganak felt this is exactly the Chakira. I don't know very much about President George W. Bush, but Lee B. Omerly that he does drink beer. Right? So now, if you drink beer, right, a melech drinks beer, so what do you mean? Is it oil al shulchan malachim? Well, it depends. First day in Taisus says that's not oil al shulchan malachim because beer isn't served at a state dinner. Second day it says no, we need a different reason. We'll consider beer to be oil al shulchan malachim, but the reason it's not a problem of Bishul Akum is because it's going to be batal. So the 2 days in Tosfos might be these 2 days here on the Machlokes between the Chazon Ish and the Chaim Ozer. Yeah.
What's batal to what?
The cooked grains are batal to the water.
Which is not cooked, right?
So because it, just like it's batal le'inyan bracha, it's also batal le'inyan bishul akum.
Why is it? Because nechok moshu chai water, because it's ina marasha.
But I think the water was not cooked. Hot water might be. Hot water is it nechok moshu chai? That's a big discussion, because it could be the hot water is something different than cold water. And nechok Shabbos, we also have the concept nechok moshu chai, and we don't consider water to be nechok moshu chai, but. Let's just leave that. Let's assume the water is not cooked.
The
Chaim Ozer feels that you need a state dinner. Yeah, which is OU policy also that you need a state dinner. Canned vegetables. Right. This is similar to what you were asking before. Canned vegetables, is that Olah Shulchan Malachim? So some make a distinction between the types of canned vegetables, the quality of the vegetables. That's a big discussion in the poskim. The OU's policy in general is that many canned vegetables, for example, canned corn is ne'echal kamo shulchai. No one eats corn when it's raw, but apparently it's very geshmak when it's raw. People, the OU had a whole taste test one day, and they decided that raw corn tastes really good. Hearts of palm is a further question. Hearts of palm, no one eats raw in the United States. I have two guys in my shift from Brazil. They told me that in Brazil, in fact, where they make most hearts of palm, they do eat it raw.
In a can that's not raw?
The stuff in the can is cooked. That's why it's a bishul akum issue. They cook it. Now, there might be other kulos that we'll speak about in a few minutes, right? They cook the stuff in the can, but if it's food that you could eat raw, it's not a bishul akum problem. So the shaila by hearts of palm is in the makom where they make it, people eat it raw. The mukam where they export it to, they don't eat it raw. What's the din? This is OU 88. Is a back and forth. The OU is mako on hearts of palm because it's totally on the mukam where it's made. Tuna fish is a big issue. Tuna fish was one of the biggest issues today in Kashrus is tuna fish. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu sent a letter to the OU that he wanted tuna fish to mamish be bishul Yisrael. And he insists that the Jews push the containers with the tuna into the retort. That you fill up a big container with fish, and he insists that the Jews push it in. Even though the Avni Nezer has a tshuva who says that if a goy pushes it into the oven, and then the Jew turns the oven on, that's ke'ilu, the Jews doing the whole process, even for Sfaradim. But Rav Mordechai Eliyahu wanted to be machmir, and that's what the OU does. Fine. What's the issues with tuna? What are the issues with tuna?
So you have people working in like these forlorn places out in the middle of nowhere just turning on ovens?
So again, if they... with tuna they do. With some other things they just have some mashgiach who calls in and does the access codes and turns on the ovens. Again? Right, so that's one issue. There are many kashrus agencies in machmir on tuna. Rabbi Bleich is machmir on tuna also. Mm-hmm. The tuna is non-kosher. We once did this as a farm spiel here in Yeshiva. And the only thing that Rabbi Shecht and Rabbi Tendler agree upon is whether a brain-dead person can eat tuna. No? Because according to Rabbi Shechter, tuna is kosher. So even though you're alive, okay, nish does like a ferloch. According to Rabbi Tendler, tuna is trait. I happen to eat it, it is your brain-dead. And he holds a brain death is dead. So that was the one thing that they agreed upon. Now, what are the issues in tuna? So the OU has a few svaras lahako by tuna. One svar lahako is the way it's cooked, and the way most cooking is done in industry is cooked through steam. This is called kitar. Now, there is a term in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi has a suffix in the Darim about whether mu'ushan is usher by bishul akum, smoked. What does smoking mean? It could mean one of two things. It could mean hot smoke, which is what we call steam, or it could mean cold smoke. It's a big discussion in Poskim, in Afreinim, Reb Nissen Tolushkin in the Sefer Taharas Mayim, and the Zer Zahav. Many Afreinim thought that Mu'ushan means hot steam. If that's the case, then you could be meiko that since we pass in the Shulchan Aruch that there's no such thing as Mu'ushan by Bishul Akum, that Mu'ushan is Mutter by Bishul Akum, so anything cooked in steam is going to be okay. That's one Svar Lahakal by the tuna fish. It happens that Rabbi Ganek once spoke to Rabbi Yoshev, the Prisha in Siman Pei Zayin, there's a raya from a Prisha in Siman Pei Zayin that Mu'ushan is even in hot steam, because he asks Akasha, if Tzvi is going to be Mutter by Bishul Akum, what's the Svar that Mu'ushan should... If Tzvi is going to be Mutter by Basar B'cholov, what's the Svar that Mu'ushan should be also by Basar B'cholov? So the preacher says that the case of Mu'ushan is that you have meat that is sitting in a pot of milk, and you have hot steam heating up that milk. So it's mamish being cooked in it. So it's a raya from the Prisha that he also holds that Mu'ushan is with hot steam. Rabbi Yosher felt that even so, you can't really rely on this Prisha. Fine. One svar. Second svar is a tshuva of the Maharitats, where the Maharitats said that but when it comes to Pas Akum, we have a kula. In the details, Machlokes Machaber Rama, that there's a kula of pas palter, baker's bread. Right? If the whole issue is chasnos, that you might marry the guy's daughter, so when am I going to marry the guy's daughter? If he makes bread special for me, but if he does it commercially, that's his job, so there's no concern of pas akum. That's called pas palter. Ashkenazim will more make on this in Svaradimar, but that's the basic din. The shaila is there a heter of palter by Bishul Akum? The pashtus in Shulchan Aruch is that there's no such heter in Bishul Akum. Right? The heter is only by Pas Akum, not by Bishul Akum. Again, based on the same svar that we're saying, that Pas Akum is a more cooler dick iser than Bishul Akum. Bishul Akum is much more chamor. However, the Maharitats, right, felt that you can be mako even on Bishul Akum when it comes to a commercial agency. Now the poskim don't follow the Maharitats. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva that was written to Rabbi Ganek, where he writes that the only reason we don't follow the Maharitats is because of low plug. It's because we assume that Bishul Akum is usher no matter what. Because all the food, it's the same food, if it's made at home, if it's made in the factory. But let's say there's food that you can't make at home. Cheerios. Okay, I challenge anyone in this room to make something that looks like a Cheerio in your own kitchen. It's impossible. You need special machinery to cut the dough pieces exactly that size and wrap them around and make them O's.
Is the shape that imported towards the...
The food...
No, the flavor, the ingredients.
The way the food is made, it can't be done. You need specialized machinery to make this food. You can't make it on your home kitchen.
You only care about the shape, or you're saying that would affect the texture and the nature of it?
Everything.
The glaze, everything.
The food can't be made in your kitchen. So Moshe Feinstein said that if I can't make it in my own kitchen, so then we're going to assume that there is a heter of mass manufactured items on palter, even by Bishul Akum. So that's a second kula of tuna. Right, a tuna fish is massive. Right, it doesn't come in a small little can.
Mm-hmm.
Right, tunas are these big things. You can't cook a tuna at home. No way. You need specialized machinery.
So you just cut it up and cook small parts
of it. The whole process of skinning the fish and cooking it can't be done at home. It's not shaya. So that's kula number two.
What was the first kula?
The first kula is steam.
So you don't steam tuna.
No, the way it's cooked is that they shoot hot steam at it. How's tuna cooked in the can? How's it done? Right? What they do is that you have tuna with some water and then you shoot hot steam at it and it gets cooked in the can.
Yeah.
But since you're cooking it with steam, so then there's some poskim who say that whatever's cooked with steam is not Bishul Akum. One. Kula number two is it's done in a mass scale, so therefore it's not a problem. Kula number three is there's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Yud Gimel Sif Dalet about Shvachos. Right, people who work for you, is there an iser of Bishul Akum over there? So Machlokes Mechaber Rama, right, the Rama is meiko b'diyeved on Shvachos, he's meiko even lechatchila if it's basal show Yisrael. How we understand Shvachos is also a question, whether you have to mamish own the person, like a classical shivka, or whether anyone who works for you. But Chacham Avadi Yosef in his tshuva about Sfaradim eating in Israeli hotels, right, So he says, well, you could be Mekel because the people who cook the food have the din of Shvachos. Why do they have the din of Shvachos? Because they work for you. They work for you. That's a kula. So that's kula number three on the Bishul Akam of the tuna. Okay? Three kulas, Bishul Akam of tuna. Good. Let's go back to one other issue that we're talking about in the discussion of Bishul Akam. So we spoke about tuna fish, and we spoke earlier about Nechal Kamoshul Chai and Ola Shulcham Alachem. The question that's a big hot issue in Kashas today is potato chips. Are potato chips Ola Shulcham Alachem? Now, we accept the definition that Ola Shulcham Alachem means a state dinner. You're going to tell me that no one at a state dinner eats potato chips, right? But Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky had a chumrah. He felt that, no, at a state dinner, people eat potato chips. They just eat fatter potato chips. Because what's a potato chip sof-ko-sof? It's a potato that's cut very, very thin. Right? So since people eat fatter potatoes at state dinners, so therefore one could argue that potato chips should be usher based on Bishul Akam. This is a discussion that's a huge discussion in Shulchan Aruch and in the modern day Poskim. There's a whole article in the RGJ journal about this topic, whether potato chips are usher based on Bishul Akam or no. Rabbi Ganek felt that it's inconceivable that Bishul Akam should be based on the min. You shouldn't say that since potatoes are also, so potato chips are also also. And his rationale is that the Rambam says that when it comes to Bishul Akam, everything is based on l'fi ha-makom l'fi ha-zman. That means the way this food is prepared before us. That's what Rabbi Ganek argues. That's why the OU gives hashgacha on potato chips. Rabbi Belsky has a slightly different svara. For Rabbi Belsky, potato chips are completely different than the potatoes that they serve at state dinners. Potato chips are fried potatoes. You will never see a fried potato at a state dinner. You might serve a cooked potato that after it's cooked, they put it in the frying pan for a second just to give it the outward appearance of being fried, but it's not completely fried. Therefore, it's like a different procedure. That's how Adelsky's Kiddush. Okay. There's a discussion back and forth. The Ramon, one place, assers the glaze on top of the challah, the egg glaze on top of the challah. He says that even though the challah is pasakum, and pasakum or mekel, if it's commercially made, but the glaze is Bishul Akam. What do you mean the glaze is Bishul Akam? It's not Olah Shulcham Alachem. Right? No one needs just a tiny amount of glaze. So that might be a raya to the more machmir understanding. That's a discussion.
Again?
Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was machmir and potato chips.
Droyus
was machmir and potato chips. What?
Who was machmir and glaze in Machala?
The Ramo. Kuf Yud Beisif Vav, the Ramo is machmir and the glaze, the egg glaze on the Machala. So, again, there are different ways of understanding. The Gra has a different understanding of that Ramah, but the way that Avni Nezer understands the Ramah, that the issue is that the reason the Mechaber is Mekel is because the glaze is not Olah Shulcham Alochem, so what emerges from the Ramah is a tremendous Chumrah. Okay, let's just... are guys okay to spend like another 15 minutes, or is that too long for people?
Okay.
I just want to get through Bishul Akam. It'll take another 2 minutes, and then maybe we can talk about Mekhlais for a few minutes. There's a few other kulas that we have by Bishul Akam, which are based on the fact that Bishul Akam is one of these Yisurim that isn't modeled after any D'oraisa. It's just a pure Din Rabbanon, right? One kula is, even if you hold that Bishul Akam makes the pots non-kosher, and usually we hold Kli Cheres can never become kosher, but it says in the last Sif in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel that Kli Cheres by Bishul Akam you can kasher. You do Hagol Gimel Pa'amim. Again, because Ein Lo Ikar Min HaTorah Mor Mekel, the other issue is that when it comes to, we don't say Chaticha Nasas Nevela on Bishul Akam, even though by most Yisurim D'Rabbanon we do say Chaticha Nasas Nevela, Bishul Akam we don't. The third issue is Safek D'Rabbanon B'Makom Cheskes Iser. Usually we're machmir, it's a machlekes between the Shach and the Prefadosh, no? And whether Safik D'Rabbanon or machmir B'Makom Cheskes Iser, but over here we are definitely make on Safik D'Rabbanon B'Makom Cheskes Iser. Good. There's some discussions in the OU, some of the OU Truvas that Rabbi Ganek quoted at the end, which are very kedai to read. Donuts. Are donuts a problem with Bishul Akam? Are donuts Olah Shulcham Alachem? They serve donuts at a state dinner? So apparently, big donuts you'll never see at a steak dinner. What about small donuts? They serve at a steak dinner. Is that enough to asr all donuts? So Rabbi Schechter and Rabbi Belsky both assume that donuts are not a problem of Bishul Akam. It could be that the small donuts are completely different than the big donuts. Small donuts are yeast donuts. Big donuts are cookie dough donuts. Totally different things. It could be that we rely on those. We've shown them that donuts have a din of pas because Bulila Ava Shenispashel, according to Rabbeinu Tam, has a din of pas. That's a big discussion. There's three sheets to be shown them. Yeah.
Would that affect the Pasavavi Kislin situation with the donut?
Oh, yeah.
Does that
definitely
mean, to the extent that we're allowed to eat some of these donuts, we would have to?
No, it could be that we may go both ways. Well, one of the coolers, one of the ways of saying the coolers by Bishul Akam is that even we're going to be make on Drabonans, even when Sosa are other things. That we're more make on Bishul Akam than other things. That could. That's how much the Kutzar of the Rabbi Ganai develops. Pas and Bishul both. Because it's Ein Lo Ikar Min HaTorah, we're more Mekel. There's also because Ein Lo Ikar Min HaTorah, we're Mekel according to half of the Rishon, and the Shach Pas comes this way, that mostly some are Batal B'Shishim, but Bishul Akam is Batal B'Rov, no? The Gra assumes that only Pas Akam is Batal B'Rov, not Bishul Akam. According to the Shach, even Bishul Akam is Batal B'Rov. Okay. We spoke about canned corn. There's also discussion in the OU Chuvas about rice pudding. Rice pudding, so it's a funny thing. Now, when you cook the rice is Olah Shulchan Malachim. But then when you mix it up with tapioca and all the other junk over there, it's not Olah Shulchan Malachim. So, do I assume that because at one point in the process it was Olah Shulchan Malachim, it comes Aser? Right, so the poskim are makel on this. The reason is that we assume that it's not a real chetz shoyser. Right, if it's a chetz shoyser, we say ein treifa chuzeres lahetera. But it's not a chetz shoyser; just something that's also mishum siyag, so therefore it's going to be okay. These are interesting questions. Okay, Av Kan Bishul Akam. Any questions? No. Al. Okay. We're going to talk about mikvaos for a few minutes, just to get it done. It should be very easy to make a mikvah. Huh?
Thursday night is an exception?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Is Thursday night? Same time? Or?
Same time. Is that okay? Thursday night after Maariv?
I mean, maybe take a vote. Would anyone be up earlier, like 9 o'clock?
I could do 9 o'clock on Wednesday, not on Thursday.
Wednesday night? Anyone up for 9 o'clock Wednesday night?
Coffee. Bishul Akam. Some assume that coffee, there's no problem of Bishul Akam because when it's cooked by the guy, it's not really done yet. When is the Bishul of coffee completed? When you mix the sugar in. And the mixing of the sugar in is usually done by a Jew. So therefore it's no problem. But most Acharonim assume that coffee isn't a problem of Bishul Akam anyway. For a variety of reasons.
The water is heated and
filtered
through coffee.
But the coffee is a separate drink. Yeah.
It might be separate. It's like you're hot, you just heat water.
Yeah, well, it wasn't like beer.
It's similar.
It could be you say the same story as beer. That's one of the stories in the Daki Chuva is, right? That's really bottled to the water. That's another story.
Right.
There's also discussion that the coffee is ground first. And in the grinding process, the coffee gets very hot. In the grinding process. Then when it's cooked a second time, that's really like the second bishul. And since it wasn't also from the first bishul, it's not going to be also from the second bishul also.
When you pour the coffee, are you cooking it yourself?
No, because it was cooked in the thing.
You?
No, I go to
we
got to
talk about where you put in the hot water.
No. We're talking about they have a pot of coffee. And so we're making our own coffee generally. Coffee might be not a different Isser in Kuf Yudala, not Kuf Yudala, it might be an Isser Shechar Akam. Nechof Masadim says that you should be machmer for this. He says that he knows of many people who started drinking coffee in non-Jewish coffee houses and they went off the derech.
Is that from Beis
Yishtal?
Is that from
Nachal Beis Yishtal Shachem, yeah. Shechar Akam. There's an Isser of going out to, with your buddies for drinks to a bar. You can't go to a bar. Then the Isser is only on alcoholic beverages. Tosa says it's only alcoholic beverages of a specific type. It's only Sheikhar Tzmarim. But the Chochmas Adam says that you should be mocking even non-alcoholic beverages because you saw bad stuff happening. You have to know the coffee house culture, right, was like where all the intellectuals would get together and they would discuss. I'm very serious. It's almost Starbucks today is modeled after like the German coffee houses, right? The coffee houses. They discuss.
What about like if you're
you can go and not drink?
Oh, so go and not drink? Okay, say this is to drink and the and it's mutter, by the way, to go to Starbucks. The dinner of Sheikh Akam, it's preferred in Shulchan Aruch. It's mutter to buy a cup of coffee and drink it outside. That's preferred in Shulchan Aruch. The Israel is only to drink it in their
mishnah. The whole cut of Starbucks is drinking it in Starbucks.
You can go to a bar and drink a Coke.
Coke.
Like all
Coke might be mutter even according to Chochmas Adam, but
even in the base mishnah itself, I thought any drink in the base mishnah.
No.
Many
Rishonim hold that even in the base mishnah, this is only an alcoholic beverage. The Chochmas Adam says you should be machmir. He acknowledges it's a chumrah, non-alcoholic beverages in the base mishnah. I mean, the pre chadash is machmir in this meikar hadin, but I think we don't follow the pre chadash. We follow the Chochmas Adam usually.
You can't go to a baseball game and buy beer.
No,
that's a
shayla.
Why is that a base mishnah?
Yeah,
the problem is like
in the baseball game, you're not drinking. There's no unit.
He's in Hashra, and like professor is sort of expect the class to go out to a bar,
right.
Not like to drink and get drunk. And the professors are going to be there, but more as a class social gathering. And he hasn't gone the first three times, but now the professors are sort of like, okay, I'm going to dock you the grade, or you know, like.
Yes, I mean, so obviously it's mutter to go. Whether is drinking anything permitted again? Even according to Chacham Sofer, it's a chumrah. Same point. It's not me'ikar hadin according to Chacham Sofer. It's a chumrah.
Even according to Chacham Sofer, it's chumrah. You can never coke in the
taste. It's possible. It's possible that Chacham Sofer is asking coffee because coffee is the type of drink that creates more.
All these Rishonim seem to be talking about in the context where everybody's having the same kind of drink. If you were to have coffee in a bar.
That's an interesting story. I don't know. I have to look into that story. Okay, this is not for this semester's contemporary halacha. It's a nice topic. So let's go on to mikvaos. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, hilchos mikvaos. Rabbi Savolovsky. A mikvah should be the easiest thing in the world to build. What you do is that you dig a hole. The hole has to be 40 sa'ah. It fills up with water. You have a mikvah.
We have one
right outside, right? The Glock Center right now might be the largest mikvah in Manhattan, right? So no problem. The problem, however, is that most people would not want to go into. Maybe the first person might want to go in, and maybe for guys it might be okay. But Tzvilas Nashim, to go into a hole in the ground, it gets dirty, not so good. You want it to be clean. So how do you solve an issue that the mikveh should be clean? So what we do is what is called hashaka. Basically you have 40 sa'ah of water, and you have a hole. The hole is a shoferes hanur, which we assume is two etzba'os by two etzba'os that go around, and you connect tap water to the hole of shoferes hanud, that is hashaka. Beautiful. Do you need hashaka tzmides? So most Rishonim, Shulchan Aruch, Paskins, you don't need the hole to be open the whole time. The Shach Sif Katan Kuf Yud Beis quotes from the Rabbeinu Yeruchim that you should have hashaka tzmides. In Lomdis, the question is, what is the reason why hashaka helps? Does hashaka remove the psol from the mayim? Just like we know the din is that water that is tamei becomes tahar through hashaka. So here also, when you kiss the waters together, you remove the din of she'uven. We assume that meho'ir is she'uven. We assume that it's all not kosher to be tovel in. Or do I say that no, that the reason for hashaka is that we view it like it's a small mikveh next to a big mikveh. And that halacha views it like I'm being tovel in the bigger mikveh, in the regular mikveh. If that's the case, the hole has to be open. L'maisa were machmir, the Tashbit says we should try to be machmir for everything. L'maisa were machmir that you should have the hole open. Now, if you have the hole open, so far hashukah is pretty good. The problem is though that we're worried about human error, because if I have one mikveh over here that's full of arba'im sa'ah, and the next mikveh is right, kosher water, megashamim, beautiful. The next mikveh is going to be mehoir, which is not kosher. It's only kosher because it touched. You have to be worried, maybe it never touched. Maybe the mehoir didn't fill up until that hashaka hole, and if it never touched, you're really in trouble. That's one concern. There's another concern that the Chazon Ish was worried about, which is based on the Raiva, which is a concern called Nosan Sa'av and Natal Sa'av. Nosan Sa'av and Natal Sa'av were worried that the water is going to transfer. You have the hole open, right? So your kosher water is going to go into the Meha'ir, and the Meha'ir is going to go into kosher water. Eventually, you're not going to have rove of what you originally had that remains. You won't have rove of Rabbanim Sa'av kosher water. And Nosan Sa'av and Natal Sa'av also were Mekal on this Shaila, technically, but the Raivan and the Rambam are Machmir. So those are two problems with doing a mikvah ayidei hashaka.
So then, either way, it will be either you open the hole or you don't open the hole, you have a problem either way.
If you open the hole, you have a problem nasan sa v'natal sa.
Right.
If you don't open the hole, so then you have a problem that you're not yotzi rabbi in the Yeruchim.
Right.
Right? So and you also have the problem of human error. So what do? So some people make a mikvah just based on hashaka. However, the Chazon Ish and others felt that what you should do is make a different type of mikvah based on Zriya. If you imagine over here, right, let's say this area is a mikvah, and it's higher up than this area. So I have kosher water here. I pour Mehoir into the kosher water, and it spills over into the bottom one. That's called Zriya. Zriya, the Chazon Ish said, it's great, no problem. Aye, what about Nosan Sa'av and Natal Sa'av? The Maaseh, you had the problem of Nosan Sa'av and Natal Sa'av. Because as I pour the Mehoir in, so the old water, the kosher water, will go down here. The next time I do this, I'm not going to have Raiv of kosher water left. So the Chazon Ish says, forget about the Rambam and the Raivid, just do Zriya. That's the way the Chazon Ish himself built many mikvahs. Also, the Chazon Ish had a practical concern. He said you shouldn't do Hashaka, because mikvahs through Hashaka could be very dirty. And he was worried that maybe one woman will decide not to go to the mikvah because it's too dirty, or maybe the Ministry of Health at some point is going to come and cut and close you down. So therefore, the Chazon Ish said, do not do... Remember, Zriya is going to be much cleaner. Right, because it's not open all the time. If you have hashaka, you have dirty water that sits here for years, and it's connected to your water that you're going in.
It's not replenished.
What?
It's not replenished.
The water is not replenished. In Zriya, the water is replenished, so Zriya is much cleaner.
Right.
So, Lamais the Chazon Ish says, do Zriya, don't do hashaka.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we try to have mikvahs that use both Zriya and hashaka. And we also do a little kunz that we'll talk about in a few minutes. There's a third Eitzah though. The Rebbe Rashab of Chabad, I forgot, I think he was number 4, number 5, right? Of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he came up with an idea that maybe you could solve the problem of Nosan Sa'av and Natal Sa'av, which is the problem, the halachic issue, by Hashaka. You could solve it just by having the real mikvah underneath. You have your kosher water underneath, and then you have a hole on top, so gravity is working in your favor, because the kosher water won't get exchanged with the non-kosher water, because you had, right, if they're next to each other, they'll diffuse. But one on top of another, what's going to be the problem? So there's a whole discussion in Mitzias, is this true, is this not true? Right, and people try to do different tests, okay, whatever it is. Lamaisa today, what we do is we have a Bar Zriya and a Bar Hashaka, and we also divide the Bar Hashaka into two halves. So, right, the reason for dividing the Bar Hashaka into two halves is that we assume each half has more than Abba'im Sa'ah, right? We have like a plank, a plastic plank array. You don't use metal, Chas V'Shalom, because metal is metabolic toma that could create big problems in mikvahs. You use stone or plastic. And 40 on top, 40 on bottom, and we assume that lamaisa, the area on the bottom won't really diffuse, the water on the bottom won't diffuse with the water on top, so you'll be okay.
So which is just what's it like? I'm trying to picture it. I'm having a hard time picturing.
Okay. So what it looks like is in the Rabbi Sablowski booklet, I have a picture, the last page.
It had that plank?
Huh?
It had the plank in the middle?
Yeah. This is the plank in the middle. Letter Tessin Yud.
That's
right.
that water level?
Tess is called the Bar Tachton. Tess is this Lubavitch bar. It's on the bottom. It's divided in the middle. You have 40s on top, 40s on bottom. Right? And then there's Hashaka by Zion. Hashaka, this is where you actually dunk in. You never see this area. Right?
Oh, so how is it connected to here?
Through that hole, through Zion. There's a hole over here that connects.
That you don't see that ever.
Right.
And so through here, what's this one then?
But that's the Barzria. That you pour the water in here and then it will
and
overflow.
Is this the
Barzria? But this is Barzria, this is Bar Hashaka. And this is the Hashaka Tachton.
Whoa.
It's not the greatest picture, but it's okay. Now there is a chumer.
So the one that we do for Yom Kippur on the broader side, that
has everything.
Wow. You don't see any of it.
You don't see anything of it. Right. But if you walk in the back, if you go the express route, you're standing on top of the real boros. And don't jump in there.
Is that you really cause serious problems?
No, you won't cause serious problems other than dirt. No one wants dirt to be in
there. It gets clean when it goes through here, it gets clean.
Yeah, this is cleaner water. This water is city water that's clean. They close it up every day.
And
they refill it. Yeah.
Every day.
Every few days.
You just imagine to be an engineer to like you can't be ready. You need an engineer.
So let's just talk for a few more minutes. The Divrei Chaim didn't like the Lubavitcher Mikvayos. He felt there's a problem of what's called kataphras, that you can't have chibur going top to bottom. That was the Divrei Chaim's concern. Most Acharonim assume the Divrei Chaim is making a mistake. The kataphras is only a problem of moving water. Two still bodies of water, even one's on top, one's on bottom, is not a problem of kataphras. Fine. This issue of dividing up the Bar Hashaka, so the Chokas Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Breish, who was the Rebbe in Switzerland, had a fancy notion that maybe, even though usually a hole has to be a Shvoferes Hanud, but over here he said the hole could be smaller than Shvoferes Hanud, because it started off as a Shvoferes Hanud, and the Rush writes in Hilchos Mikvayos, if you have something that starts as Shvoferes Hanud, and then at the end it's smaller than that, it's going to be okay. Rav Sternbach passels it. If you read the Rav Sternbach's Haskama to the book Mikveh Mayim, he passels this based on the concern of Zuchila, that the top mikveh won't hold its own water because there's a hole in the bottom, so therefore it's not a kosher mikveh. We'll talk about Zuchila in a few minutes. So, but even so, most poskim assume that Rav Sternbach's Taina isn't really so legitimate. Lemaitre, Rabbi Sabolsky was worried about it when they built the mikveh in Paramus, so he wanted to make sure that Dayan Posen, the brilliant Dayan who was involved in building the mikvah, wouldn't build it according to the Chalkas Yaakov. He was right that since Dayan Posen is a student of the Milchus Yitzchak, and Milchus Yitzchak is a mechutin of the Chalkas Yaakov, so maybe he would do the Chalkas Yaakov thing. Fine. Now, what do you do in a community where there is no water? How do you have a mikvah? So ice is not a problem. We assume there's no din of shuvan on ice. There's one Rishon who's worried, the Bahamar is worried, there is shuvan on ice. We don't pass him like the Bahamar. That's what you do.
Naturally
fallen ice is better. What about man-made ice? Man-made ice is a huge discussion in Poskim. Lamaisa, that book, Mikveh Mayim, wants to be makel on man-made ice also. Rav Rosner, in his Haskama to the book Mikveh Mayim, says this, that you want to be makel on man-made ice. It's called Kerach Malachuti, right? Is an awful thing. Chacham Avad Yosef, in the newest volume of Taharas Mayim, right? The newest man of Taras Mayim, he says that Yesh Lismok Lahakel Bishas Hatrak Bidi Yeved. Right? Okay, fine. So now.
If you have natural ice, and you're
going to
have natural water.
So the Chasam so far has a problem. You have natural ice, and you gather the ice up, so the ice will begin to melt. And you'll have a little bit of water. And Gilmore Lugan of Mayim Shuvim passes in the mikvah. So you're going to have some Mayim Shuvim because you're using a shovel to get up. So the Chassam Sefer says you should make holes in your shovel when you get the ice. And that way any water will drip out. That's what the Chassam Sefer is Makadish. But as man said, we have an easier situation, easier solution. You use a refrigerated truck. Right? A refrigerated truck, your mamish keep it frozen the whole time. It's great. Right? Fun. This is the basic discussion of the first Rabbi Sabolsky Shir. The second Rabbi Sabolsky Shir went through some other psulim, the psul of Sheuven and Mikvos is Machlokas HaRishonim, where the Kulo Shavas din derisa din derabonim, Machlokas Machaber Ramah, Ashkenazim are Machmir, that Kulo Shavas din derisa, Svaradim are generally Mekel. Fine. Lamaisa, derisa derabonim is Pasul, right? Sheuven is Pasul. We treat Mehair like Sheuven. Again, this is another issue that Rav Vosner had a taina on the Mikvah Mayim, that the Mikvah Mayim says that Yesh Lismoch Lahaka on Mehair, Bidiyevet. And the Rav Vosner said, no, Mehair is not a problem. That's a complicated question about how water meters work. If anyone here knows. Yeah, Mehair, the water meter, is that considered a Keli that makes all the water into Sheuven?
Even if it are the sinoros, the pipes that get...
So pipes don't make something into sheuvim, because if
sinor,
a pipe is a sinor, a pipe doesn't make it into sheuvim, because anything, it's only considered sheuvim if it could be mekabel. If it's open on two ends, it's not sheuvim. The discussion in Shulchan Aruch is, let's say there's a hole in the pipe, a little crevice in the pipe, a little base keyboard. We're make all a ma'isa on the base kibul that was not na'asa mitchil lekach. If it just gets made on its own, the ma'isa we're going to be make, although there's a whole scandal going on now about mikvaos and people want to ask, or Rav Yosher reportedly said that the mikvaos, all the mikvaos today, that the shingles on top of the roofs have a little base kibuls that develop in those shingles, and that could pass all the mikvaos. Okay, I mean, we try to be machmir as much as possible in mikvaos, but it's b'feresh in Shulchan Aruch that we're making on that shayla. But like many shaylas, it's b'feresh in Shulchan Aruch that we're making, we still try to be machmir, yeah.
And considering what we said before about the metal and tuma, we're not concerned about that.
So metal pipes are not a problem with kabel tuma once they're attached to the ground. Anything that's attached to the ground is not a problem with kabel tuma. Bisman is that anyway, they don't really use metal pipes, they use PVC piping, which is like a type of plastic. Plastic is not mekabel tuma l'chora. Even if you hold the plastic is mekabel tuma, certainly it's once it's mechamel karak, that's okay.
And within the mikvah itself, if the plank were metal, wouldn't that still be mechamel karak?
No, because it's not really mechuber. That there, the plank is just put there. It's not mamish
attached in any way.
I don't think so. I think they support it on like a stone that jets out, because they want to take it out occasionally.
Abaluya too, it was actually.
If a mamish be attached, it'll be okay.
Whatever it
would be. If assuming that the pipe was made, the Chassam Sefer, it's called the Pesach Shuvah, that the pipe has to be made almanas to be attached. So most pipes are made almanas to be attached to the ground. Most planks might not be made almanas to be attached to the ground. You'd have to have it manufactured specially. There's a din of Hamshacha. Hamshacha means that the water doesn't come directly into the mikvah, but rather you pour it on the side and then it flows in. How much hamshacha do you need? How do you do hamshacha? Discussions in Rishonim. Some say you need gimel tfachim. Some say hamshacha kodehu. Some say that you need karka ro'i levloa, that the ground has to be capable of absorbing. Others say that you don't. Reb Velvel Soloveitchik in the notes on Tzmur and Daf Yud Beis points out that these two questions are a dependent one on the other. If the lumdus of Hamshacha is just to make it like it doesn't come from me, saying you should need Gimel Tfachim, because Gimel Tfachim is the sheer of love with B'chala Tarekula. Anything less than Gimel Tfachim is coming directly from me. But if the lumdus of Hamshacha is that it comes from the ground, not that it doesn't come from me, but it has to be Mayim from the Karka, so then all you need is that it comes on Karka Roy Lavloa, right? Comes from the ground. It's like it's absorbed in the ground. So then you wouldn't need Gimel Tfachim. And that's what Reb Velvel Tainas, that's what they do in most mikvahs. That you have a small amount of like real dirt, or you use some cement, that there are different grades of cement, and the cement that absorbs more than others. Kulo b'hamshacha is a discussion in the Gemara and in the Rishonim. Most assume that we're only making hamshacha with revi'ah b'hamshacha. If you have roiv, if you have 21 sa'ah of water that came straight from the Shemayim, and then 19 sa'ah came b'hamshacha, that's going to be okay. Kulo b'hamshacha, most assume, is going to be a problem. Even so, it's only a problem midrabanan, which could lead to other kulos. Fine. There's one din d'oraisa mikvaos that's very important. That's a din of zochlin. If water is flowing, there are two reasons why this is a problem. One reason is that flowing water, we view it like it's not mechuber, and therefore you don't have arba'im sa'ah. That's why the Vilna Gaon understood. The Mordechai has a different understanding. According to the Mordechai, water that flows isn't a mikvah. The definition of mikvah is water that's kavu v'kayimi, water that's in one place. If the water is flowing, it's not a problem. What's the nafkamin? The nafkamin is the machlokas mechav ramah about zechilo lamayla mimem sa'ah. Let's say you have a crack in the mikvah, so the water is flowing. So it should be a problem. No, but it's not such a problem because the crack is on the top and you're going to have 40 sa'ah on the bottom. Does that invalidate the whole mikvah? The mechav says it does not invalidate the whole mikvah. Zechilo lamayla mimem sa'ah is kosher. But the Ramah is machmer and zechilo malo mimem sa'ah. L'chayra, this depends on the same shaila. If it's totally in the definition, then it's not considered a mikveh anymore. So I could say, well, if it's not considered a mikveh, even malo mimem sa'ah, it's not a mikveh, it's flowing water. But if I hold that the din of zechilo is a chesaron in the shir, like the Bir Hagra says, so then I could taina that if you'll have a shir that remains, it's no problem. There's another machlokes mechaber in the Bir Hagra, which is very important, about zechila she'ena nikeres, right? If you have a leak in the mikvah, but such a teeny leak that you can't tell, what's considered nikeres? What's considered ena nikeres is also a discussion. Achareinim, some achareinim say it's only considered nikeres if you look at it and you see that it's going down, right? Others say no, nikeres means that you go on the 24-hour period. Think that's how most are machmer. That you draw a line on the side of the mikvah where the water level is, and you come back the next day, and if it's beneath that, that's considered nikar. Doesn't mean that your mommy see that it's going.
How are you dealing with evaporation? Isn't that
anything beyond the regular evaporation? You know how much it evaporates. Right? You have to do tests. There can cracks in mikvahs are the things that make people the most nervous in the world.
They always check.
When we went to see Rabbi Willig's mikvah in Riverdale, so Rabbi Rosenzweig said that his father-in-law, Dr. Eliach, gave him a book to read. And the book had a story about Reb Volvo Soloveitchik, that Reb Volvo at one point checked the mikvah and he saw there was a crack in the mikvah, and 30 years later he met the Rav whose mikvah had a crack in it, and he started to shake because that was the mikvah with the crack. I mean, people get very nervous about cracks in mikvahs. Fine, filters. Are filters a problem with zechila? Is that considered water that's flowing? The Rivash is quoted by the Raman Sif Nun. By the way, Ov Mikvois is one simon, simon Reish Aleph. Sif Nun in the Ramah, he quotes that the Rivash says that it's only found in Zechila if it flows out and doesn't come back. But whatever flows out and comes back is not considered Zechila. Based on this, Moshe Feinstein entertains the idea that you could go into a mikvah when the filter is flowing. The filter is operating now, the water is flowing, because it flows out and back. Others are not so convinced that Ramosha is correct. If you look in the Sefer Mikvah Mayan Chilak Beis, page Ayin Aleph, he has a discussion. The simple reason to assume that Ramosha might be incorrect is because the Lashon HaRamah is that it's only not a problem if Ma'at Mayim goes out and comes back. But if Harbe Mayim goes out and comes back, it could be that would be a problem. Chlorine might be an issue of Shinoi Mare. One of the halachos of Mikvah is that the water has to be pristine, clear, so it's Rosh in the Sifrei. Shinoi Mar, if it doesn't look like water, it's going to be a problem. Chlorine, it doesn't really look like water, it's colored. The Ravid says even if it's Shinoi and it doesn't look like anything else, but it just doesn't look like clear water, it's still a problem. However, the Achreinim will point out that the Mishnah Achrona has this, that the din of Shinoi Mar is only if it happens Ayideya liquid. Shinoi Mar Ayideya solid, it's not a problem. Therefore, we use chlorine pellets, we don't use chlorine liquid in the mikvahs. Yeah, you had a question?
Can you just repeat the chlorine thing?
Shinoi Mara would be a problem if the color changes. Even if the color changes and it doesn't look like anything else, it just doesn't look like regular water, it still is a problem. But it's not a problem if it happens from a solid. It's only a problem if it happens from a liquid.
For example, out here when the pour filled up, it was all muddy water, but it was water, so is that
right. What so the Ravid says that that's considered Shinoi Mara. The Ravid has a
naturally that's just how the mud.
Okay, well, mud we assume.
Here,
so Shinoi Mara Ayidei Dover Acher, that would be Shinoi Mara Ayidei Dover Gush. That should be okay.
What's the chiluk? Dover Gush
versus Nozol. Solids don't create a Shinoi Mara problem. Dirt is solid.
Oh, right.
Okay. Can you use a river for a mikvah? Can you use an ocean for a mikvah? This is the last point. Rivers is a machlokes hatanoim. No? Do we assume that Nahar Mikipe Mavrich? Do we assume that the way rivers grow is that the source of the river goes up, right? And Kol Tefach She Yoyred Lamaila Oyla Tefachayim Omata. Whenever you have one Tefach of rain, you're going to have two Tefachim from the source of the river coming up to greet it, right? That would be Nahar Mikipe Mavrich. Or do I paskin that no? That do I paskin that we're worried that it's going to be yerbu notes from al hazochon? Maybe there's going to be more rainwater than the flowing water, than the original river water. We generally paskin, most Rishonim paskin against Rabbi Nutam, that we hold that you cannot use a mikvah if there's a concern that there is, you can't use a river if there's a concern that there's more rainwater than water that came from the bottom. The cheshbon is because if it's rainwater, now it's flowing water, that's a psul zochlin. Rabbi Nutam was mekel on this. The minhag Ashkenaz traditionally was to be mekel, although for the last 800 years Jews have not been mekel on this shayla. Rabbi Sablowski pointed out that one of the questions that Rishonim used to ask on Shidduchim is, does her mother go to a river or does she go to a regular mikvah? This is a big issue. The Ramos says a b'shasat chakgod, you can make on rivers, providing that it's a river that doesn't dry up. Nahar ha-mechazef, if it's a river that dries up, then it's going to be a problem. Oceans have a din of a ma'ayon. Oceans should be great. The question you have to figure out about some of the inlets in oceans, whether that's okay. And oceans, there's also issues of tznius, right? To go to the mikvah, right, in an ocean, so there might be people who see you, might be concerns of tznius going to the mikvah that way. There's also a concern that maybe she'll be scared. The Rishonim have the Gemara has a problem in Maseches Nida that if you'll be Taivo in a normal in an area that you'll be scared, so not good tefillah because the woman has to go all the way underneath. So by an ocean also, if you're worried about the waves, there's something it could be that it's not a good tefillah. So you have to make sure that you're not worried. Yeah. Good. Any questions?
So this is the last one.
What?
Alright, so I'm a Wednesday vote.
Okay, so if guys could just tell me, we could do either Wednesday or Thursday.